The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. So glad that you have decided to join me this morning. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Professor Stater over at Louisiana State University on the Popish Plot. You might think 17th century England has nothing to do with us, but actually it has a lot to do with us. It's about conspiracies. It's about powerful cabals who are intent on seizing power and using popular prejudice of the day for political ends. So it is very relevant. It just reminds me that human nature doesn't really change. I heard a very interesting comment from somebody the other day that said that I know I live in a fallen world because I have to have a key to my house. Think about it. Okay, so this portion of the show, we down tools and we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And if you're listening, you are praying with us. However, if you want to be more involved, you can text in any prayer requests, which we'd be delighted to pray for on 251-928-2111. Or if you're feeling like a little bit of penance, you could always call us on 888-928-0881 and give us your prayer request over the air. So, without further ado, I turn to the Batman and Robin of the Archangel world, requesting to know who is our prayer warrior today.
Well, Kevin, over the phone with us, we have Mr. Bob Venti.
Bob, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I hope you liked our trumpets. Was it suitably gladiatorial?
I don't think I'm dressed for it, but yes, I thought it was.
If you've got a rosary in your hands, you're dressed for it, Bob. That's the only thing we need. That's the only thing we need. Listen, where are you calling me from?
I'm calling you from Montgomery, Alabama.
Really? Montgomery? Wow. I think you're our first Montgomery caller for this purposes.
Well, I'm excited to be your first.
Yeah, and I hope it'll not be the last, and I hope it'll not be the last time you come on. So, Bob, I have to ask you two questions. First of all, I'm assuming you know what the Divine Mercy is, the Divine Mercy Chaplet?
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. Now, for top prize, have you ever listened to this show and know how we do it on air during this segment?
Yes, I have.
Well, you win the prize, and the prize is that you can pray with me now.
I'm excited about that.
Don't get too excited, Bob. So listen, what we'll do is what we do every day, which is that we will kick off and say the preliminary prayers, and then I shall come to you in due course, and you will have at least one of the decades dedicated to your personal intentions. And depending on how many other requests we have flying around, we will then maybe give you another one and see who else is calling in, texting in. Does that sound okay?
That sounds good. I've got quite a few requests, though, so.
Okay, well, in which case, then, let's get started. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And we say together, Bob, O blood and water,
which gushed
forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And keep us from temptation, and deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so that's us kicked off, Bob. We're up and running. So this first decade, we will turn to you. Who or what have you brought with us? And Bob, we'll give you at least two decades this morning, so we can load up the first one, but there will be another opportunity for extra prayers in a minute.
Okay, I appreciate that. My first intention is for the repose of the soul of my cousin Debbie Stossel, who died on Tuesday from esophageal cancer. Also for the return of my son and my daughter, Brian and Colleen, to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
I've got some healings, and if you want, I can save those for the second.
First of all, condolences on losing Debbie, we'll pray. Had she been ill for a long time?
Yes, she's had esophageal cancer for quite some time, but it got really bad over the last 6 months, and she was in hospice for the last week, and they expected her to stick around for anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks, but she died very quickly.
Yeah. And was she a woman of faith, Bob?
I'm assuming so. I really didn't stay close in touch with her, but her whole family was, so I'm assuming that she was as well.
Okay. Well, this Divine Mercy Chaplet is specifically geared towards the dying. It's a great devotion, a great comfort to the dying, but it's also great begging of God's mercy for those that are dying. And as we both know, prayer is outside time and space, so the prayers we're asking for here today are really for Debbie at that moment, and begging that the divine mercy will be with her as she makes this transition from this life to the next. And may her soul and souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. And of course, we'll pray for Brian and Colleen. It's one of the constant themes on this show. I don't know if you've heard it, Bob, but we have so many fathers, grandparents, and mothers calling in and concerned about their children and their children's faith. The only thing I would say, and it's an observation, is that this concern is as old as the hills, right? It's not a modern preoccupation. I mean, St. Monica had the same preoccupation, right?
Exactly. So, that's my faith is resting on that. If she can pray that much and it has an effect, I'm hoping that my prayers are going to have the same effect.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I often say to people that... and I've said this on air, that my mother had the same conversations with me when I was a young man, and look how I ended up on air praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. So you never know. The Lord is a wonderful, wonderful sense of humor in all of this. So we'll pray with joy in our hearts for Brian and Colleen, expecting their return, okay? We're expecting their return at some point. An appointment with grace that we don't know about, but we hope for, and we trust in God's mercy for Brian and Colleen. And Brian and Colleen, if you're listening to this, you have a very good intercessor in Bob, taking the time to get all of Southern Alabama praying for you both. And we look forward to hearing about your imminent return to the faith. Okay, let's put that all into this first decade, Bob. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Bob. Now, I will come back to you. But we've had a text in from Birmingham, Alabama, from Joe in Birmingham, Alabama. Good morning to you, Joe, and thank you for your text. And Joe is asking for prayers for his son, Bobby, who is 15 on Sunday. 15 on Sunday, the 12th. So Joe is asking for prayers. And he's also asking for prayers for his daughter Elizabeth on her confirmation retreat also this weekend. So for Bobby and Elizabeth, we are delighted to pray this second decade. So Joe, for your intentions, Joe from Birmingham, we'll pray for Bobby and Elizabeth now. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Bob. So, Bob, I have to ask, which parish do you belong to up there in Montgomery?
A Holy Spirit Parish.
And is it a good one?
Yes, it's a very good one. Very active. I belong to the Knights of Columbus, and we do quite a few things for the parish and for the community, and the church supports us. Very pleased with that.
That's great. I know the Knights of Columbus. Should I be calling you Sir Bob then?
I do have that title, but no.
I can't call you Sir Bob. That's great. We have Sir Bob on the line. That's fantastic. It's very good. Well, if there's anybody listening from Holy Spirit, you will be included in this next decade. But this third decade is over to you, Bob. Anything, anyone you want to pray for, we will do it now.
All right. I've got a few healings here. Mm-hmm. A good friend of ours up in Maryland, her name is Eileen Schmidt. She's got breast cancer and has just started on her second week of treatment for that. Mm-hmm. Healing for Schmidt, who's local, Vicky Schmidt, she's in the end stages of Alzheimer's, and her husband, John Schmidt, to pray for patience for him. He deals with her and the things that she's going through.
Yeah.
And we have a young lady, Katie Stembridge, who was in a terrible car accident, and she was not expected to live. This was several months ago, and she has come through, and she's doing extremely well. So I'd like to pray Thanksgiving for her recovery.
Mm-hmm. And is that in the local Montgomery area, Katie's accident?
Yes, yes.
Right. Wonderful. Well, I think there are wonderful intentions, Bob, and much needed. And they're the sorts of things we just love to pray for, you know, because there's so much. People need these prayers. So Eileen in Maryland and Vicky and Jonathan and Katie, more local, we'll pray for you all now and pray for healing. As Bob is saying, we're praying that the Lord's will be done in your life. But we're also asking for mercy and for miracles, that miracles of healing, miracles of recovery, miracles of patience will be given to all concerned and all who look after them. We also pray for the medical teams that will look after these people in their various ways, that they will too will be guided by the Holy Spirit and will give good and efficient and professional care to everybody that needs it. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Bob. And that brings us to the fourth decade. Now, we've just had a text in, and it's asking for prayers for the people of Turkey and Syria. We all know that they had that horrible earthquake the other day, and many, many thousands have died as a result, and many other thousands are injured, displaced. They're still hunting, trying to find the people that are trapped. It's an absolutely horrible situation. Nobody in their worst nightmares would ever want that on anybody or anything. So we ask that God's mercy be shown to those people, be given strength to get through this experience. We pray for the dying and the dead. We pray for those that are trying to aid them at this time, the various agencies. We also pray for international governments around the world to be open-hearted about this and to help these countries at this time. This is not a time for politics or for differences of whatever sort, but for us to be good neighbors to these people. So let's pray for them and pray for everybody concerned at this time.
Kevin, we have Sherry in the studio with us to share her intention.
Yes, absolutely. Good morning to you, Sherry.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Sherry. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, too. Thank you again for coming on the radio.
It's my pleasure.
So, Kevin, this morning I'd like to pray for my friend Tommy's uncle. His name is Albert, and he's having shoulder surgery. And I'd also like to pray for Dr. Matthews, who is performing the surgery.
Absolutely, Sherry. You know, I have a soft spot for any shoulder injuries.
Yes.
Is that happening locally, Sherry, in a local hospital?
It is, right here at Thomas Hospital.
And do we know what time?
He was the first surgery, so I'm assuming it's going on right now.
Fantastic.
Yes.
That is amazing. So, listen, we're going to pray for Albert now and for Dr. Matthews, that the Holy Spirit will guide him at this time. And I'm looking forward to you coming back on the show tomorrow, Sherry, to tell us how wonderful the operation went.
Okay, I will.
And we'll also pray for you, Sherry. Thank you for all your help in organizing all the various prayer warriors. You do a wonderful job, and we really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, Bob, so we've got global and we've got local. Shall we pray?
Yes, we shall.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Bob. So, Albert, if you ever hear this recording, we're praying for you, praying that your shoulder injury works out. I had a terrible shoulder injury a few years ago when it all worked out. So just trust in the Lord. And thank you, Sherry, for bringing that to our attention. So we come to our final decade. Can you believe, Bob? It goes so quickly, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So what I'm going to do in this final decade, if it's okay with you, Bob, is that I'm going to do a quick fire. So I'm going to come back to you in a moment, just for somebody or something that's come into your heart or your mind in the last 30 minutes, and we'll pray for that individual. But I'm just going to turn to Reed and Mike and see if there's any intentions that they would like us to pray for now.
Yes, Kevin. Mike's in here with me. He's got his. I would love to pray for the heart of heart. You know, that obviously encompasses quite a few people, but like you were saying, we're doing a bit of a global Divine Mercy Chaplet, so I would like to pray for the heart of heart.
That's wonderful, Reed. A good prayer. Mike, Amen. Anybody, anything you want us to pray for?
Yes, I'm going to pray for Ellen Taylor. I pray that she's getting, she said, I pray that she enjoys her vacation and comes back refreshed. I know she wasn't feeling well when she arrived, was coming down with a little cold, I think. But anyway, wanted to pray for her that she is enjoying her time and comes back refreshed and ready to continue spreading the good news of the gospel.
Sounds like a great prayer. And Bob, anyone or anything that you'd like us to pray for?
Yeah, I'd like to pray that God provide me with the grace to proclaim the good news when the opportunities present themselves.
Wonderful. Well, we pray that, Bob, that God will give you that gift, the gift of tongues, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be given the wisdom to know when to speak and also the wisdom to know when to be silent. And Mike, we'll definitely pray for Ellen, yeah, absolutely, and we pray that she has a wonderful holiday and comes back, as you say, refreshed. And Reed, a wonderful prayer, the heart of hearts for everyone, that we will all grow closer to the Sacred Heart through the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Thank you.
Okay, let's say this final decade together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we say together to conclude, Holy God,
holy
mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God,
holy
mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Bob, that was your first trip down the Turley frequency here with Divine Mercy together. How was it?
Painless.
Almost painless. Would you come back again, Bob?
I will certainly consider it, yes.
You truly are a knight. Thank you so much, Sir Bob. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Kevin. It was a pleasure.
And stay tuned, Bob. We'd love to have you back on the show. We really would.
All right. God bless you.
Regards to everybody at Holy Spirit in Montgomery. When we come back, I'm going back to London in the 1680s, 1670s, and we're going to be talking about a saint who walked unknown to the population. He was undercover, and you may be surprised where he came from. We'll be back after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Divine Mercy Chaplet, my favorite times of the day. Just wonderful. Thank you, Bob Vinti from Holy Spirit Parish up there in Montgomery for coming in and praying with us. Or should I say Sir Bob? He was a Knight of Columbus, so this is fantastic. And I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Professor Stater. It was I found it fascinating, but I'd be curious to know what others thought. Reed, what did you think of the Popish plot?
I thought it was fascinating also, Kevin. You know, I really had no idea about that. I guess it would be kind of more British history.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, like, I've never heard of Titus Oates. I guess, like, deep down in my memory, maybe I've heard that name uttered before, but knew absolutely nothing about him. Knew nothing, or well, I did know actually about, you know, conspiracy theories relating to the monarchy against the Catholic Church during that period. Just different, you know, political goings on and things like that. I certainly knew about that, but not any of the details.
It reminds me, Kevin, and I'm sure you've heard the old proverb, reminds me of the proverb, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise at heart."
Well, that's more than a proverb. That is from Proverbs, you know, yeah. That from the book of Proverbs.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. No, you're right. And it's a very, very strange time in British history. And Reed, you were saying that you were glad you hadn't heard of Titus Oates. Well, just be glad he hadn't heard of you, because we'd all be executed at that point.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
he was an absolutely despicable character at the bottom of this conspiracy theory, really, about Catholics. We were completely blameless and innocent of the charges. There was no intention of killing Charles II. I mean, he was a crypto-Catholic. He converted to the faith on his deathbed. He was married to a Catholic. Why would we want to get rid of him? You know, it's ridiculous.
I looked up Titus Oates just on Google while you were telling the story and talking with Mr. Stater and stuff, and it definitely exonerates Catholics and paints him in a very negative light, everything that I found. So at least...
Yes.
At least we have that going for us.
Well, on Archangel Radio, we're not going to have a Titus Oates tribute hour anytime soon, that's for sure. But listen, tell me this. What did you think of our caller this morning? It was very interesting, somebody phoning up wanting to be an actress. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think, Kirsten, it's difficult knowing what advice to give a young person, really, about that sort of thing. Because, I mean, Mike, you've worked in that world. I mean, it's hard graft, but it's also quite dangerous in a way, especially if you're a young woman at times.
It is, because you can easily be manipulated and taken advantage of. And I hope and pray, you know, that she finds some direction, some good Christian direction with her life. I would have told her, you know, I know a lot of these actresses, they want to go into film. That's where the money's at, the fame. I get that. But you have to start somewhere. And the best way to make the transition is to just get on the stage, get familiar, just act in anything you can. Don't limit yourself. So, Kristen, if you're listening, still don't limit yourself. Go out and do it. Get, you know, get with your friends. Do the stage work.
Act.
Exactly. Act in anything you can get your hands on. So.
Yeah. Reed, you're a young person. I mean, is there do you feel there's enough help to help people discern their vocations in their late teens, early 20s?
I don't want to just you know, act like I'm complaining or anything, but there doesn't really feel like a lot of just guidance for people my age who are getting into a lot of fields. Obviously, there's apprenticeships and things like that. Once you're actually into the particular field, the opportunities start to open up. The people who are in the field will at least recognize that you have some training and some idea of what you're doing and things like that. But I think that it's a big obstacle for people my age, especially nowadays when there's so much saturation of everything. You know, if there's something that you want to do, there's probably already 100,000 people who had that idea first. So,
but the difference is, and this is if Kristen ever calls back or if she's listening, tenacity, the persistence. That's the difference between those that make it and stick it out and those that don't.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, Kirsten, if you're listening, get your tenacity and gear, and you'll be fine. You'll get there in the end. We also had our conspiracy theory plots directed at us, CIA-funded front. Well, I don't know about you guys. I haven't seen any checks from the CIA this month. Have you seen them?
Nope.
No, I wish. I'll take
Sherry's
some money.
Still there, can you ask her if we've had any checks from the CIA recently? Because we need to dispel this myth once and for all. But listen, if there's anybody out there, CIA, Men in Black, anybody landed in a spaceship or anything like that, and you want to sponsor any segment of this show, then you just have to give us a ring on 888-928-0881, and we'll put you straight through to Sherry, and she'll take your bank details, and couldn't be easier, could it?
The Men in Black may come by and take our archives away from us, because we've had
conspiratorial callers.
And we've had Bill Murphy and Dr. Thigpen.
Yeah. Well, the way our computer servers have been playing up, they're welcome to them. They can find them.
That's probably the reason why we've had so much trouble.
And Wayne, if you're listening, thank you for your help the other day on this. But we may need you back. They're more temperamental than a mule, these computer servers, it seems to me.
I'm kidding. I'll have to put a work order out and get Wayne out.
Absolutely. Well, if Wayne's listening or anybody else, we love our callers and we love everybody listening in. And, you've heard Mike and Reed. They don't bite. You can call us and just have a chat anytime. And also this period of the show when we just have this little time out and we reflect on what we've heard and what we thought in the last 90 minutes, it's a time when you can join us on that too. If you want to come to the radio equivalent of a water cooler, why not? 888-928-0881. Just drop in, have a quick chat with us before story time. Okay, so guys, is it time to dust down those trumpets and take out those drum kits again?
We're ready.
Let's do it. We were born ready. Reed, we were born ready.
Let's go. Yes, welcome back to story time here on the Turley Frequency. Now, we've been talking a lot about Stuart England and Stuart Britain this morning on the show, which is basically the 17th century. King James I came down from Scotland and the crowns were joined, England and Scotland and also Ireland, in about 1601. And then after that, for the next century, the Stuarts effectively were rulers. And it was a very, very eventful century. We had the English Civil War, which was across the British Isles in the 1640s. And that ended with Charles I losing his head, getting his head chopped off. And then we had Cromwell. And to say the least, Cromwell was not a bundle of laughs. He was a very, very miserable individual who even banned Christmas and was so intent on ensuring that Christmas would not be celebrated that he had Parliament sitting on Christmas Day to make sure they all turned up and that nobody was sneaking off to have some turkey and Christmas pudding. And then after that, there was what was known as the Restoration when Charles II came back from France and took over. And as you've heard, he was the crypto-Catholic. And he married a Catholic and he converted on his deathbed. And the story of his conversion on deathbed, I think I've told elements of it on this show. I might tell the whole thing because it's very, very interesting. He was a terrible libertine, a man who, really the Stuarts had that inclination. Maybe it was the Celtic blood because they were Scottish, essentially. Maybe it was that Celtic blood that made them prone to a little bit too much of the pleasures of life. But anyway, he ended up in the right position because of his final deathbed, he sent for a priest, was received into the church, and there you have it. His brother then was James II, and he ascended the throne with his Catholic queen. And James was very much Catholic. And then we had what was known as the Glorious Revolution, but it was an inglorious revolution, if you ask me. It was a cabal of rich merchants and other self-seekers who wanted to take power. And they did so by deposing James II, who was the legitimate king, and placing on the throne his daughter, Mary, and her very strange husband, William of Orange, a very strange man, almost up there in the Titus Oates bracket. And anyway, they reigned for what was left of most of that century. And then after that, the Hanoverians came over. So instead of having the legitimate Catholic kings, the British oligarchy who ruled, the establishment who ruled, imported a whole series of kings from Hanover in Germany. Yeah, I know. There's no reason or rationale for it, except they were Protestant, they were not Catholic, and they could make sure that the Stuarts didn't get back on the throne. So that's a brief overview of the history, but I want to zero in on a particular period and a particular saint who turns up in the middle of all of this, right? Now, you heard about St. Oliver Plunkett and his martyrdom, and I think it was in 1681, and he was the last Catholic to be martyred at Tyburn here in London. And you can go, if you visit London, you can go to the spot where the martyrdoms all happened. There's a little plaque there to the martyrs of Tyburn. The trouble is, it's in the middle of a busy traffic aisle on a very busy corner at Marble Arch in London. So you have to sprint across the road, across through the traffic, and then stand there in this traffic aisle while the buses and the taxis and everything are whizzing around you. And then you say your prayer, and then you rush back again. But a little bit further down from that, there's what's known as Tyburn Abbey. And it's a very beautiful place to go to, because you walk in through these doors and you're away from London, and you're suddenly in a convent where there's 24-hour, 7-day-a-week adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. And you can go in at any time and join it. And it's very, very nice. It's a wonderful sort of break from the hustle and bustle of London. And I've got to know some of the sisters there, and they're lovely. I mean, as a lot of these sisters are, the stricter the order, the happier the sisters. The stricter the order, the more joy seems to pervade the whole place. And in their crypt, they have a special shrine to all the martyrs of Tyburn. That's why the building is there, essentially. It's a shrine to the martyrs of Tyburn. And there's the plaques and the coat of arms of people like St. Oliver Plunkett, but lots of other people as well, who were executed at Tyburn for their faith. They are the martyrs, people who were willing to give their lives for the truth of our Catholic faith, essentially for our Lord. So, some years ago, quite by accident, I was walking along a London street, and suddenly I saw a saint. And the thing was, it was 340 years after that saint had last been in London. Now, I know you're wondering, have I had a vision? No. Have I had an hallucination? No. Was I on medication at the time? Not that I was aware of. So what did I see? Well, the occasion was in 2016, and it was the return of a saint's relics to two churches in central London. The Church of the Immaculate Conception in Mayfair and St. Patrick's Church, Soho Square. Now, I've mentioned St. Patrick's before. Do you remember the Sisters of Life and the Hare Krishna and all of that? That was that church. And it was in that latter church that I was visiting one evening on my way home. So it's a very nice church to be able to pop into and just say a prayer. They often have adoration. And that's what I'd done that evening. And as I left the quiet interior of the church, I heard noises on the street. Now, it's a very noisy part of London anyway, so you often hear noise. But I looked up, and there seemed to be a crowd approaching the church. And it was, in fact, not a crowd, but a procession. And what they were carrying were the relics of Saint Claude de la Colombière. Now, St. Claude had come back to London, a city that he had lived in for 3 years, from 1676 to 1679. And why am I telling you those dates so precisely? Well, for the keen of ear, you will have heard that the Popish plot took place in 1678. So we have a canonized saint living in London at the time of the Popish plot. I'll tell you a little bit more about why he was here and what happened next. But that night, the saint was accompanied not just by those I could see, but also by the relics of another saint. And this saint will give a clue to where St. Claude had come prior to his living in London. And her name, the relics of that saint, were the relics of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. Now, Catholic churches throughout the world often have a statue of the Sacred Heart. It's a very, very common feature in Catholic churches around the world. Wherever you're visiting, there's often an altar dedicated to the Sacred Heart or a very small statue to it. The church I went to Mass this morning, there's a number of churches around here. I'm trying to think. I think almost all of them have a statue to the Sacred Heart. Now, it can sometimes be quite small and discreet, but it's there. So it's a devotion which is worldwide, and why shouldn't it be? As I was speaking to, I think it was Reed the other day, about the Sacred Heart and the promises of the Sacred Heart, 12 promises. What we pray each day on this show, which is around the Divine Mercy, in some ways, well, where does that Divine Mercy come from? If you've ever seen a picture of the Divine Mercy, which again was something that Saint Faustina was inspired by the Holy Spirit and by her visions to have painted, the beams of red and white, they come from the heart of the figure of Jesus on that painting. So Divine Mercy comes from the Sacred Heart, obviously. Where else would it come from? And in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we say, "Oh my Jesus, I trust in you." Well, when St. Margaret Mary Alacoque had her visions, the prayer that she was taught was, "O Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in you." And it's a prayer that many Catholics say, and I've said for many years, even though we don't really know much about St. Margaret Mary Alacoque or very much about the vision she had at Paris Le Monial in the 1670s. So it's a devotion which is key to the spirituality of many Catholics throughout the world, but it owes its modern origin to St. Margaret Mary. Now, there was a tradition of devotion to the Sacred Heart, which was medieval and obviously earlier as well. It's biblical in a sense. Our Lord talks about his heart being meek and humble. But St. Gertrude in medieval times, she promoted devotion to the Sacred Heart. But the time at which St. Margaret Mary had her visions are very interesting from a political and social and theological perspective, because France at the time was riven by two extremes, Protestantism and the Reformation that was still raging to some extent in different parts of France, and that was a negation of Catholic devotion such as the Sacred Heart. But even within Catholicism itself, there was something known as Jansenism. And Jansenism was a very corrupted, depressing, and very dark version of the Catholic faith, which was closer maybe to Calvinism than it is to Catholicism. So it was very timely that this devotion to the Sacred Heart appeared. Because in a way, it wasn't just that it was nice to have a new devotion, but it was also there to counter the spread of heresies that were trying to distort the truths of our Catholic faith, but also to distort aspects of God's love and mercy for all of us. Because what is a heresy at the end of the day? A heresy is not something often which is wrong in it, in essence. It's something which is a grave exaggeration of a truth. Now, this is not the place to go through all the heresies that we've been subjected to down the centuries, but heresies are often exaggerations of a truth to the point where they nullify the truth itself. So, as I say, St. Margaret Mary was living in her convent in the 1670s. I think around 1673, she started to experience a series of revelations from our Lord that called her to spread devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, as happens with a lot of visionaries, and we've seen this with St. Bernadette and with the children of Fatima, When they go to talk about these visions, and they're often impelled by these visions to go and speak to people, the reactions they get are often disbelief, mistrust, or calumny. They're accused of lying. And St. Margaret Mary's experience was not that different. She did not meet with universal acceptance, we can say that, amongst her community, her praying community of nuns, or even some of her spiritual guides at the time. They were suspicious of her. And St. Margaret Mary was a good woman. She's not a saint. She was a good, holy woman. And she was greatly hurt by this reaction to her. Now, this is a common theme that we're starting to see amongst some of the holy people that we talk about. We had it yesterday, if you remember, with St. Kateri, how she was rejected by the people around her, by the people that she loved, her family, her friends, her community, her tribe, because she was different, because in a way God had marked her out. And that's one of the signs, I'm afraid, of being a true follower of Christ, that there will be periods in our life when we are marked out. As the Beatitudes say, blessed are those when people abuse you and say awful things about you in my name. Rejoice, because your names are written in the kingdom. So we should expect that to some extent. And she got it. However, God is good, and there was one priest who did believe her, very much believed her, and trusted what she said and thought there was value in it. In fact, he was utterly convinced of the authenticity of what was being revealed through this holy nun. And his name was Father Claude de la Colombière. So who was he? Well, Claude de la Colombière was born in 1641 in France. And he entered the Jesuit Order, Society of Jesus, in 1658. And he, at that time, when St. Margaret Mary was having her visions, was the local superior of the Jesuit community in the village of Paray-le-Monial. He was also the spiritual director to the local visitation convent where St. Margaret Mary lived and prayed, and where he met her for the first time. And when he did, he offered her guidance as to the meaning of the visions that she was undergoing. And in so doing, he also became a kind of zealous apostle of this new manifestation of an ancient devotion to the heart of Jesus. But it wasn't just to the devotion, it was also to what that devotion signified, namely, the love of God for each and every one. Now, God's ways are not our ways. And no sooner had St. Claude met St. Margaret Mary than he was assigned another mission. That's right. So he went from this little village in Burgundy, Paray-le-Monial, and was sent to London, to Protestant London, to a country which was virulently anti-Catholic. And he was sent specifically to the court of St. James. Now, do you remember I said to you that the Stuarts had a habit of marrying Catholic princesses? Well, the future James II, then the Duke of York, heir to the throne, was married to Mary of Modena, who was both royal and Catholic, in a city and country openly hostile to the church. Now, I think we're going to have to pause our story at that point, okay? So Claude is heading to London, to the royal court in London, after witnessing a beautiful saint with these wonderful visions. He's suddenly cast out into the darkness of Protestant London, to a London which didn't just despise Catholics, but was about to start openly persecuting them again. So we'll pick that story up tomorrow on the second half of London, the Sacred Heart, and St. Claude de la Colombière.
What do we have going on tomorrow, Kevin?
Good question, Reid. We have Joe Condit, who's the producer, director, and chairman of the National Men's Conference.
Excellent.
He's coming in to make a man of you and Mike at the very least. So I can't wait about that. I don't know about you. That sounds good. We'll all have more hairs on our chest after listening to Joe.
It does
sound
great.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being part of the Turley Frequency today. Thank you to Reid. Thank you to Mike. Thank you to Michelle, Ellen, Sherry, and Sir Bob. Thank you very much for coming in and praying with us. Let's do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same Turley. Until then, stay tuned to the Archangel Radio.